Welcome back to Tuesdays. You big Jersey Shore guy, it's going to come back on Thursday nights, but they call it Tuesdays.
T-shirt time.
That's right. Cabsy. That didn't really land. That didn't last very long. They were like the last people to use cabs.
It's true.
Now it's just like, oops, we're here.
Oopsie.
I'm sorry, what'd you say? speaking of, I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Yeah, it's been a tough evening. You know, I understand people are very passionate and people love the Astros and love sports, but, you know, threatening to find my kids and murder them is a little bit tough to deal with. So, you know, just as a father, I think there have been many, many threats over the years aimed at me mostly. And I think actually one or two people have from other issues around baseball actually had to go to jail for things like that. But, you know, I think bringing kids into the equation, you know, threatening to, you know, find them or next time they see us in public, they're going to stab my kids to death. Things like that is tough to hear as a dad.
Good Lord. That's Lance McCullers talking about people that have been threatening his kids.
Yeah. And somebody blamed it on gambling, right? Mm-hmm. Some former MLB player. I don't know who it is. It's at Shegon03 on Twitter. Just says retired MLB player. I don't know who that is. Mm. It says, this makes me sick to my stomach. I played with this kid's dad and was a great guy. The blame falls on Rob Manfred and the other MLB owners who have partnered with the underbelly of our society, the gamblers. When losers bet on games and lose money, they think it's okay to take it out on the player and they feel is responsible. This is a huge problem, and I'm guessing it's happening a lot more than is being reported. And look, if you're betting on games and you're taking it out on the players when they lose, that's a story we can have a conversation about. I don't think it's about the gambling, though, Dusty. I think it's about the way that people handle the gambling. And if you're losing your mind over a regular season baseball bet, right, and it's causing you to lash out on somebody and threaten their children, maybe you shouldn't be gambling on regular season baseball or gambling at all. Because I look at gambling as one of those things, like I don't wager a lot of money because I just don't have a lot of money, right? I don't like to lose a lot of money. So I understand how I can go about, you know, gambling and keep the losses, you know, to a minimum, maximize the wins, as they like to say, all that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. And I understand that, you know, sometimes you're going to make a bet, you know, and you're not going to win, and it happens. It's not for you to go then take it out on the player. If you can't handle losing a bet, you can't handle gambling. And that's what it is for me. It's not the act of gambling. It's not the booze or the drugs or anything like this. It's the people that are utilizing those vices that don't know how to handle them properly and do it as a proper adult.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think Matt can attest to this. Like, there's times where, like, you know, I'll do, like, a parlay. Let's take Jason Tatum, for example, right? It fits the scene tonight. And I'm like, I think Jason Tatum has over 18.5. I think he has over 7.5 rebounds. And I think he has over 6.5 assists. More often than not, I'm going to get two of those three legs to close. And I'm going to get down to like 6 assists and then, you know, blow out and gauge Tatum's out.
Right.
I'm going to joke facetiously to like Mac, be like, oh, Tatum like blows his knee out. But I would never, and I mean never, go to the point of like tweeting that at Jason Tatum. Thanks, dude, for ruining my parlay. It's just like, that's the game.
Right.
Like when you gamble, the more often you do it, you're going to lose 3-4 leg parlays by one leg.
Right.
That's why parlays add up. That's why they're fun.
They're fun. Yeah.
It's the chase, and you've got to get 3 things right in order to hit this one bet. And sometimes it happens, and it's a euphoric feeling, and it's great,
yeah.
And sometimes when it doesn't happen, it's questionable as to like how it didn't happen. You're like, how did you only score 19 points when you've scored 27 in 8 of your last 10? You're like, you know, you get upset, but like, there's always going to be bad people that are going to take everything way too far.
Right.
And it also doesn't help that, like, it's becoming more and more available, right? Like, Missouri, eventually, it'll be able to do it, you know, from your couch. And, you know, people tend to be very passionate about their money. It's why whenever you go to the casino, some people are like, yeah, she's hard for me to go get $100 out of an ATM, go play four hands of blackjack and be like, and it's gone.
Right.
And you're like, I worked really hard for that $100. Like,
I know.
You did.
Oh, yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah, it's like, that's the sport, though. Like, you could have turned that $100 into $450.
Could have.
But also, it's like, when gambling is involved, it's like, is the risk worth the reward? If that is for you, then gambling is going to be something that you enjoy. If it's something that really devastates you and hurts you, maybe you need to stay away from
yeah.
it. And nowhere ever should there ever, ever, ever be something where you're threatening to stab children.
Right.
And, you know, go to the lengths of, you know, being that serious. It's like you said, if you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen. If you can't, you know, afford to eat, don't, if you can't afford to tip, don't go out to eat.
Right.
If you can't afford to gamble and it's going to make you an emotional, you know, distraught wreck, then don't do it. Now, right. again, this has happened before. There's movies about it.
It happens
there's,
daily.
You know, all
yeah,
the time.
Right.
But yeah, I'm like you. Like, I mean, there's times where, like, you know, my buddy Rob and I will do bets. And then all of a sudden he'll be like, I hope, you know, so-and-so stubs his toe with, you know, sandals on tomorrow because he went over 4 at the plate today and it's the only one I didn't get. And all I needed was, you know, Jose Ramirez to record a hit, but I got everything else. It's like, that's life.
Yeah.
Like, that's gambling in a nutshell. But to put other people's lives involved in it or to get angry about it, like, yeah, sometimes they hurt more than others, but, you know, that's the sport of it.
And sometimes you have to understand, too, like that $10 wager or that $15 wager, yeah. that's your entertainment for the night, right? Like, look at it that way and not take it so serious if you lose, because more often than not, you're probably going to lose. You know, if we were all winning, they wouldn't build these big casinos and hotels, you know, out in Las Vegas or wherever else they build them now these days. And so it's not the gambling. I think it's low-hanging fruit when people in sports, like former athletes or whoever it may be, want to attack Rob Manfred and say, well, they're in bed with the gambling companies. They want to attack Roger Goodell. They're in bed with the gambling companies. Well, they're in bed with advertisers. It's what you do, right? It's part of how you move this, you know, this product forward mm-hmm. and continue to put out a great product and continue to bring in more money so the teams can pay their players more money. It's just a different way of getting the money. Gambling, to me, is not a bad thing. It's the people that don't know how to handle it. Just like alcohol or marijuana or tobacco or whatever vice is that you have, it's not necessarily about those products. It's the way you utilize those products. If you get canned every single night because you're drinking 55 beers and you know you're wrecking your life, that's on you. That's not on the beer company. If you're gambling more money than you're able to afford, that's not on the gambling company. That's on you, the individual. And it's called personal responsibility. Yeah. I know it's 2025 and we don't accept personal responsibility anymore in this country, but that's what it's about. It's about you. Stop trying to blame gambling for why you're acting the way that you are. You're acting the way that you are because you are acting that way. It's not about the gambling. Boomer
has it. Tirico says that they're going to play September 4th, Cowboys and Eagles on NBC. Oh, and also, Chiefs Chargers Friday night on YouTube.
So nothing official yet?
Yeah, and then Bills Ravens week one.
Bills Ravens week one. What network is that on?
Who knows? CBS, I would assume.
Love it.
Or ESPN. Who announced today? Damn. It was ESPN. It was Peacock. Fox and Peacock. Peacock announced they're going to have their own game on December 27th, a standalone game. So Ravens and Bills, is that the Sunday night opener?
Could be.
That makes sense.
Could be.
Or is that one of the Monday night games?
I don't know if you put them doubleheader Monday. I think you put them on Sunday. Also, the San Antonio Spurs and the Houston Rockets are who Winterhorse thinks are the two landing spots for Giannis.
Oh, yes. Oh, Giannis to San Antonio with yes. the back-to-back yes, rookies yes. of the year.
Want to yes. talk about some more Royals conversation plus that Chiefs-Chargers game, and I have a question for you, text line and listeners. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Watching something about the His Holiness the Pope, the dude from Chicago. You know that outlawed ketchup, I guess, has become a new national deal on hot dogs up there because he's the Pope right now. He had this line. He walks in, everybody's clapping. He says, "Thanks for this wonderful reception." He says, "They say when they clap at the beginning, it's meaningless. It doesn't matter much. But if you're still awake at the end and want to applaud, feel free to do so." That's pretty good, right?
That's fantastic.
Kind of like I feel about our show. You're excited at the beginning, but if you're still awake at the end, hey, give us a round of applause, man. Give us a round of applause. So I do like that coming from Pope Leo. That's some pretty good advice. Yeah, doesn't matter. You're awake at the beginning. If I put you to sleep, if you're awake at the end, clap all you want. It means a heck of a lot more. So
more.
That's good.
Have you ever had succotash?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Lima beans and corn. Yeah.
I had it for the first time this weekend. It was all right.
Why did you have it this weekend? That's like a Thanksgiving type dish, you know, I feel like.
So my dad has to eat differently.
Okay.
So he had to have like fewer carbs in the house.
All right. Is he looking to lose weight or?
Just change lifestyles.
Oh, cool.
So my stepmother made succotash and I just thought it was like a saying from that guy from the
suffering succotash.
Yeah. I thought that's what it was. I never knew it was like an actual thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. The texture
it's
is
lima beans and corn. I mean,
and some other stuff.
What else was in it? That's
I don't
usually
know.
What it's
onions, like there? Stuff like that. I don't know. It wasn't bad. I'm still trying to decide if I like it or not.
The lima bean thing.
Lima beans are a weird texture.
Yeah, it often includes vegetables like tomatoes, peppers, okra.
There was all that in there except okra.
I loved her show. She was my idol growing up. If I could be like Oprah Winfrey, she was fantastic, man.
You get a car.
I mean, I've always loved Oprah. She's always been like, if I'm ranking like people who have been like inspirations in my career, David Letterman and Oprah are right at the top of the list.
Wow.
Oprah had every woman convinced to do whatever it was that she said for 25 years, right? Yep. Weight Watchers has gone out of business since Oprah stopped endorsing them, just so you know, right? Like, she is that. She's awesome. I freaking love Oprah. And Letterman just is brilliant. So, like, Oprah Oprah is awesome, man.
Today I learned that Bob was obsessed with Oprah.
Oh, God, yeah. I used to watch Oprah all the time.
I was Team Springer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, but I mean, like, just no, we were all Team Springer.
Obviously.
I mean, who was it?
Boy.
Who was it? Yeah. We watched Springer all the time.
One of the best KC breakfast spots is called Succotash.
Yeah, it's a really good spot, actually.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Absolutely. Really, really good. Yeah,
back I think up you would like it.
Crown Center-ish. Looks good. Yeah. It looks like something I'd like. Yeah.
Which is vegetables.
Yeah.
I like all vegetables.
Like, I feel like it'd be good like in a fried rice on the Blackstone.
Probably. But you have that. You have lima beans in there.
Right? Yeah. I don't know. It was just a random, because of course I went out there. I'm like, I thought Alex was still out in the bullpen. It's just Cody.
No chance he's had that.
It's just Cody and Drew. And I was like, hey, have you ever had succotash? And Cody, yes. And Drew just goes, you're asking the wrong people. Like, yeah, I should have known.
Drew's like, read the room, man.
Cody's like, I make it once a week. Duh.
Yeah.
I think I came up with this theory. There is going to be a 10% group of people that will never be satisfied with the Royals. I've just accepted it. I don't know if it's that big or not.
I was just saying, I'm trying to think of it like the right numbers. 10% seems large to
me. Because Vern said it great when he joined the show earlier. He goes, the best thing I saw this weekend was 85,000 plus go out there and show me who the real Royals fans are.
Yeah.
And those, you know, small percentage of people that text in or get mad. Because the thing I don't understand, and this is where I start because I saw this today, was that people want to complain that the Royals will go to the playoffs and they'll lose to a good team. But those same people...
No, good teams are in the playoffs.
But those same people are the ones that send the same stat that we're starting to get this year more often than not, which is this team's had four good years in their existence of their franchise. Okay, what's considered a good year? Going to the playoffs? Okay, so if they go to the playoffs, what are you expecting? Like, I think one way we get with the Royals and the Chiefs, and look, I'm with you, fans. I would love to see more offense. We're all there. Trust me. Okay. I would love to see more offense, but I think what we're at is I think we're giving too many Chiefs expectations with a Royal expectation.
But we live in an NFL world and every sport gets compared and related and, you know, talked about in an NFL term.
But I think it's over time. Whereas you expect every year, because they've given you reason to do so, that the Chiefs should be in the AFC Championship
game. And they went 50 years without, like, the Chiefs went 50 years without doing anything, and the Royals technically had more success than the Chiefs did.
And that's where I'm getting it. Because Mahomes' first win at home against Andrew Luck and the Colts, I would think that the majority of people are like, let's just get a home playoff win. Let's just start there. Let's just start there. And then it was like, oh, this team's pretty good. And they got to play Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game in Kansas City. And I think a lot of people were 50-50. Like, a lot of people were heartbroken and were like, damn, that was the AFC Championship game at home in overtime to freaking Tom Brady, right? And then there's other people that were like, I think this team could be something in the future. Like, yeah, we got the AFC Championship game. We'd never seen that before in my lifetime. Never thought I'd see it before in my lifetime. And then you fast forward the clocks, 8 years, and you're like, oh, I'm going to see that every year of my life now. Like, I expect that. Whereas, like, the people that are like, well, the Royals only had 4 to 5 good years of playoff or of a franchise. Okay, well, then, like, the ALCS shouldn't be your expectations. Why don't you just get into the dance where you're never at and then see what happens? And then if you become one of those perennial teams for, you know, 5 to 7 years where it's like, yeah, the Royals should be the best team in the Central. Like, Detroit Tigers fans, I think this year, should be like, it's ALCS or bust. We are the best team in one of the toughest divisions. Mm-hmm. We made the playoffs last year and did pretty well. Didn't get where we wanted to go, but we built our team. That's where we want to get. Cleveland should have been that team last year. Hey, we're ALCS. We want to play the Yankees and ALCS for a chance to go to the World Series. They've proven they can do that.
Boy, they have a good team, and I don't know how much of Sunday Night Baseball you guys watched against the Phillies. That place was empty. Yeah. You could throw a baseball to the upper deck and hit nobody in that stadium.
And so I think that we kind of do that, a small group of us, do that with the Royals, where we're like, well, they said they'd be a playoff team. Okay, that they could be that for sure. All they got to do is get in. And right now they're doing exactly that to get in. And then, I mean, in 14, did you really think they were going to sweep, and go to the World Series?
No,
but it happened.
You were just hoping they got, you were just hoping they were there. Game. Like the wild card game, we're like, well, if we don't win, we still made the playoff, maybe.
Kind of.
Right?
And you're
like,
not going to please everybody.
No.
And I understand that.
You're not. But I mean, I think if you're hard to please when it comes to the Royals, then I just feel like it's not good for you. It's not a healthy situation to be in if you're not excited about what the Royals are doing, because you can only live in the present. You can't worry about what's going to happen in October. Just like with the Chiefs, you can't worry what's going to happen in February when you're watching a game in October. Enjoy it for the moment. Enjoy it for what it is. Enjoy the excitement and go into a ball game. Like when I was a kid growing up, I don't know if it was the same for you guys. Going to a baseball game was special, man. We went to maybe one or two a year max if we were able to do that, right? And it was a special, special deal. I loved every minute of it. And you enjoy the moment of that baseball game. I just think some people just get so caught up, and I think this, again, old man thing, this is where the stats get in the way, this is where the nerdism gets in the way and takes away from the enjoyment of the game. People are focused on stuff that really doesn't matter. Focus on whether or not they're going out there and winning and what their overall body of work is. Baseball is not a day-to-day results business that you need to be hung up on every single day. It's every 10 games you take a look at where this team is in the standings and then kind of figure out, what did they do the last 10 games? How are they good? How are they bad? Can they improve here? And you can make some determinations like this. Like, I see 85,000 people over the weekend. I see yesterday's game. There wasn't one person that was depressed, complaining, anything like that. Everybody was loving the moment out at the ballpark yesterday. And that's the way it should be, because it's baseball and it's fun. And if your team doesn't win, oh well, there's 161 other ones where you have an opportunity to go out there and win and get that job done. But that's what John Sherman said when he replaced Dayton with JJ. I'd like to see what a wild card team looks like. They got a wild card team. Just get into the playoffs and have a chance to win. 8 wild card teams have won the World Series. 7 wild card teams have won the Super Bowl. You get an opportunity to get in the playoffs and do what you can do, and then let the chips fall where they may. Sometimes you may not win in October. We were very spoiled in 14 and 15. Sometimes October happens like it did last year, where you get in and you lose and your sweatshirt arrives. I mean, that's just life. I mean, that's just kind of the way things go. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing bad about that. Just enjoy the moment. If you're getting caught up in the minutiae of everyday baseball, man, you need something else in your life to help you out, right? Because it's eating at your insides and giving you ulcers that you don't need.
And I want to address this text because I don't think that you're understanding what I'm saying, which is totally fine. And I'm just trying to be kind here. But somebody says, Dusty, that's a loser's mentality. We want to win, not just place. Again, I'm not saying just get into the playoffs, fizzle out. I'm saying don't put an expectation on this team that they should be an ALCS team or bust. Like, what I just literally explained, what you just explained, was that if you can just get into the playoffs by winning and staying competitive in the regular season, anything can happen. That's why whenever I kind of came back down to earth with this Dodgers stuff in the offseason, where everybody's like, oh, the Dodgers won the World Series. Like, the Dodgers might win 115 games this year, but it's all about winning a series in the playoffs where anybody can win.
Right.
And that's where I kind of get confused by the whole part of, is like, well, we might be a playoff team. We're going to sweat. You don't know that.
You don't know that.
They beat the Oakland Athletics back in the day in the wild card game, and they went on to sweep the best team ever, or the best team in the playoffs, in the Angels.
Right.
Then they swept what? Baltimore at home.
Everybody said Buck Showalter was going to manage circles around Ned.
I don't think it's a loser mentality. It's the fact that, like, I'm not saying I just want to get to the playoffs and then whatever happens, happens. I'm saying I want to get to the playoffs because anything can happen when you get in there, because you could play the Yankees and Aaron Judge could go, you know, completely dark, and all of a sudden Bobby Witt Jr. has arrived and the Royals sweep the Yankees. And we've seen stories like that happen before. So it's not just a, well, I want to get there and like just show that we made it. No, it's like, I would just want to get there because you went 20 years where just getting there wasn't even a question. And if you can get there, you can do anything. Look at the Marlins in 97 and again in 2003. Look at these teams that just, it hardly ever do you honestly competitively see the Dodgers always win the World Series. Mm-hmm. The Yankees always win the World Series. It's been what, almost 20 years since the Yankees have won the World Series?
The Yankees last won in 09.
So, yeah, and it's now 2025. So it's been 16 years since the Yankees have won a World Series.
It's really interesting when you said that, oh, it doesn't matter what goes on, we're just going to lose to the A's or whatever it is in the first round. If that's your attitude, then just don't watch baseball.
Yeah,
just stay away. And that's okay. It's okay to remove yourself from the games. But if you're watching games in April and May going, ugh, there's no way we're going to beat Oakland, we're just going to get eliminated in the first round, then why are you watching the ride? Why are you paying attention to what's going on if that's the way you feel? Now, there are people out there, and I think I'm right when I say that they're called masochists, where they like just get joy out of the bad things happening, right? They get that joy and that drug when bad things happen. And I think there are a lot of sports fans at the end of the day that are just masochists, that would rather see their team lose than have that enjoyment to win, because there are people out there who don't understand enjoyment and good things and nice things and fun things because maybe they were raised in a bad home or they don't have any friends or whatever the case may be.
Right.
And everything always has to be negative. That sports fan exists as well. And that's not a place where I want to be. I don't really care what happens in October, because that's a long way away. We're in the midst of a really good regular season. People have begged for great baseball for a generation in this town. Now we got it. And sometimes people don't want to accept that you're going to lose games during the course of the regular season. The Dodgers haven't won every damn game that they've played this year. And nobody in LA is worried about what's going to happen in October. They're enjoying the ride.
Also, kind of, you know, so the people that say, not all Royals fans are saying the same thing that you're saying. And I do get it. Like, somebody says this, like, what wins playoff games in baseball? Pitching. Who in the AL has a better pitching staff than us?
Right.
It's in a playoff series, pitching wins. Yeah, Detroit and Kansas City, you probably won't see a whole lot of offense in that. And by the way, that series happens very soon, 2 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get the Tigers. And you'll get to June 1st. And again, the Royals went 5-2 on this homestand. The Royals have a plus run differential, one of seven teams in the American League. They have the second most wins in the American League.
Yeah.
They have the third best record in the American League, and they're winning games. I don't care if it's against the White Sox, the Black Sox, the Red Sox, Nixon 7.
Right.
Doesn't matter to me. Just keep winning. Because somebody got into like a little back and forth with me earlier. They're like, well, you wouldn't have the same mentality if the Chiefs were just beating Carolina and the Browns. We had that conversation. We had this exact conversation in football this year. Everyone's like, well, it looks like they're just barely getting by when it comes to the Carolina Panthers. Like, they're winning games. And at the end of the day, winning matters because if you win and you can lock up a playoff spot, then anything can happen.
Yeah, you get into the dance. I mean, they say it all the time in college basketball. Just get into the tournament and see what happens. And I remember Carl used to say that over the years, too. As long as we get into the tournament, we can see what happens. And obviously, they never won. But it's about getting in, and you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what the matchup's going to be like. You don't know who's going to have a bad day or anything like that. You just don't know. Just get there and see what happens. And that's all you can hope for as a sports fan, that every year my team is playing well enough to play in the postseason. And if your teams are rewarding you with the playoffs every year, that's great. You can't ask for anything more.
I would ask how he feels about the Knicks-Celtics game, but he's got Cody in there talking about life advice. His show's at 10, right?
Yeah, right. Get the hell out, Cody.
Talk Celtics and Knicks, but I didn't know if you were too busy talking to Cody.
Talk about the wedding was good. The wedding was good. Don't care. Into
10 o'clock, you can talk to Cody about that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what we were talking about for sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Not work.
Yeah. Game four tonight. It's, game four tonight. 2-2.
Woo.
2-2, right? 2-1.
That would be 2-1. You're trying to make it 2-2 tonight.
I think it will be 2-2. I don't think the Knicks win another game in this thing.
So now you're Royals fan, no offense.
No. I am in the playoffs now, realizing they're facing the best team out there and the most talented team out there and the most tested team out there and a team that's won championships and they have a winning pedigree. They know how to win. Up 2-0 was a fallacy as well. How the series is going and how the series is playing out right now, I mean, even the odds say Boston is going to run away with this thing and hide. I mean, it's still very much everybody saying Boston's going to win this thing. The Knicks had an opportunity, a golden opportunity, and, you know, you can flush it and move on, and that's what you have to do. But that Saturday, man, that was on the tee for you as an organization. Some people were calling it the biggest game in the history of Madison Square Garden. Yeah. We talked about that, right? I don't know if it's that big. I mean, that arena is 100 years old, for God's sakes. But that's how big a game this was. And you came out and arguably, for these players anyway, the biggest game that you had ever played at that arena, the world's most famous arena, with Timothy Chalamet in the audience as well, and you didn't show up. Why would I believe that was an anomaly and that isn't the norm when the Boston Celtics has been everybody's daddy for the last 5 years in the NBA? So I look at a team that had everything and every reason to come out hot and on fire and totally no-showed. Like, it was like their birthday party and they didn't show up.
Deer in headlights. Yeah, 100%. I mean, and the crowd was out of it within 5 minutes. The Knicks never got them back in it. And it was just kind of like, whoa, what just happened here?
You know, it was like before you knew it, and it was literally before you sat down, Boston had a big lead in that one. And that's the disappointing thing. Like, you didn't show up for one of the biggest games, maybe the biggest game that most of these guys, except the Villanova kids, have played in before, you know?
And in my opinion, I mean, it's... Yeah, they didn't show up, all those things. But in the first two games, the Celtics had those monumental leads, right? We had the stat of whatever, 90 minutes in the lead, 12 minutes without the lead in those first two games. They had dominated. They didn't win those games, but they dominated for a large part of the game. So I thought, okay, Knicks, it's time. You got lucky once. You got even kind of lucky twice. It's time for you to come with your adjustments. What is your adjustment? Is it going to be, you know, more Karl Anthony Towns, more Jalen Brunson off of the pick and roll, whatever it is? It felt like they just kind of played the same game and said, oh, well, we'll just do the same thing here again. The Celtics will miss threes again and choke, and we'll get a gift wrapped to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm waiting now for what is your move. Tom Thibodeau, you have not done jack diddly. The Celtics have gifted you two games. You have not played well offensively. You've played okay defensively. What is your move? Karl Anthony Towns, sorry to get nerdy here, Karl Anthony Towns in drop coverage was abysmal. Cannot do that again.
Well, I think also, too, where I'm kind of leaning, you know, more and more towards Boston now, and I was sharing this with Mac, Mitchell Robinson out here doing Instagram videos, giving people the finger and telling them to, you know, basically screw off, and basketball doesn't matter to him, and all this kind of stuff. Now you got Rick Barry out here telling him to do a granny style from the three-throw line.
Coming out.
Oh, yeah, Rick Barry came out today. Yeah,
good.
You got a Rick
He's
Barry.
Right.
No, he is 100% right.
He's right.
He is 100% right. He absolutely should. Now he'll get mocked and made fun of, but so
drop
what?
Drop your pride, bro.
Yeah, exactly, because now the strategy is not hack a Shaq. It's go out there and beat up Robinson and send him to the line. I mean, that that guy airballed it again. It was like watching a replay.
Remember when you saw that? We're like, not again.
Yeah.
Like,
I was like, oh God. Like, what in the hell? Like, so obviously the game plan is to foul that cat, put him on the line. But once you go to Instagram and start giving the finger and saying it doesn't matter, like, those are the things that I look at that winning teams just don't do. You ever recall the Chiefs doing anything like that? Oh, they did. And then they ushered Kadarius Toney out of town.
The flip side of this is I want to give the Celtics a tough time. You are so much better than this New York Knicks team, and you should be up 3-0. This is embarrassing. And you're now going to spend another three games. You're going to have much more attrition. You're going to be more tired, and you're going to go play a fantastic, ready-to-go, physical, fast-paced, wear-you-out Indiana Pacers team. And I hope you can get through it, because you're playing two more games when you shouldn't have, because you didn't get your you-know-what together.
And that goes back to the guys being tired and playing all of these games over the course of a year. Like, Boston had the opportunity to, you know, win games and get some more rest. And now they're going to have to play more and more games. And those games do add up. You ask anybody. Ask Hosmer and Moose and all these guys that played in 14 and 15 and Salvi and what that was like and how exhausted they were. Ask Travis Kelce. Ask Patrick Mahomes. Ask Chris Jones. Ask those guys that have been there for this entire run of the Chiefs. I mean, look at Patrick Mahomes. His playoff numbers are an entire season. He's played an extra season of football because of how far they've advanced into the postseason. It wears on you after a while. And if you have a chance to end the series early, you'd love to do that. Obviously, Boston didn't. So it may come back to bite them in the Eastern Conference Finals or the finals. Yeah, who knows?
The 816, the Knicks succotash.
Pretty good.
That's awesome.
Succotash pretty good, man.
Yeah, I got to try it.
Good question on First Take.
Okay.
Giannis, Cooper Flagg, who would you rather have?
Giannis. Giannis has proven it. Cooper Flagg has not proven it in the NBA. I don't know what he's going to be in the NBA.
Nah, he's right.
I know what Giannis is.
Yeah, you're right. That's fair. He's in his prime. He's like the second best in the world. You're right.
You think they'll let him go to San Antonio or Houston? Like, both of those markets don't do anything for me. And I love San Antonio. It was my first job. But, I mean, like,
that was Houston.
You got to go to you've got to go to New York or L.A., man. You got to do what's best for the league.
Yeah, go to L.A. Luka, Giannis, Bron. Ugh. Coming up on the other side, we get to our brioche of the weekend. Somebody said on the text line, strawberry pie was had. Forgot how delicious it was. Jerry, it's nice talking to you. Here on 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
Surfaced this weekend, and the guy went out and golfed with his girlfriend, and then she drove the cart while he ate the hot dog, and she played the prank that she just slammed on the brake right when he put the bite in to get the hot dog, just down the hatch.
That's fantastic.
Here, I'll send it to you. It's awesome.
Yeah, the Mitchell Robbins stuff just made Barstool now.
Of course.
Man.
Good vibes. Mitchell Robinson wants everyone to know he doesn't care that Knicks fans are furious he can't make a GD free throw.
I mean,
they're going to boo him tonight now, too, though. Like, that's now fine. The fans are going to turn on him.
Well, Thibodeau's smart. He just wouldn't play him.
No, I agree.
He just leave him off the court.
Sorry, man.
But he's so massive.
He's huge.
What he should actually do, he should play him earlier. He needs to start him, because then you will get more time in the bonus. You will get more time with Jalen Brunson at the free throw line. Start him. Don't bring him off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Cavs a false prophet?
Yeah, I guess so, man. Jeez.
Or is Indiana that good?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Are you nervous if you play the Pacers and the Celtics?
For sure.
Okay.
I would have said that before
the guy
series.
Was nervous up 80-39,
that's
Dusty.
True.
Well, come on. We did just blow it twice. But, yeah, no, I would have said that before the series. I would rather have played the Cavs than the Pacers. Most unique brand of basketball left.
And Donovan Mitchell's probably done.
Yeah.
Missed the entire second half with an ankle. They're already hurt. They're already injured. So maybe they're not false. They're just hurt really bad.
They're hurt. They're injured. They're young.
But they've come back from 3-1 before.
Yeah, they're saying this. I don't know if you've seen this, Bob. Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell. Well, yeah, this franchise has done this before. LeBron James.
LeBron? Yeah.
Like Kyrie and Kevin Love?
Dude, that was 10 years ago.
That team came back from 3-1.
You have not
done. That's like the next quarterback of the Chiefs at halftime down 24 saying, well, we've done this
before. That's hilarious. That's exactly
that is
what Max said.
Verbatim, word for word, what I said.
That'd be like some Joe Schmo in like 30 years comes and is like, well, she's been down 24-0 at halftime before. It's like, no. Patrick Mahomes was down.
That's so funny, Bob. That's crazy.
Well, that's just, I mean.
Do we just become best friends?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's dumb. Like, those are dumb comments. Yeah. Dumb. Like, oh, this franchise has been down 3-1. So what?
I don't care.
That's like the Chiefs in the 90s go, well, this team's won Super Bowls before. Yeah, 30 years ago. It doesn't count.
Before we get to the British of the weekend, you ready for this text?
Yes, please.
I'm not feeling too bad for guys playing extra games when they get paid $40 million a year for 82 games and 20 games in the playoffs, which they get paid extra winning.
All right.
Brioche of the weekend. No matter what money you make, you still get tired.
Love that. Yeah, good take.
Ask Mahomes. They're exhausted. Like, it doesn't matter. It's still human beings. Money, that's what makes sports so good and why you can't always focus on stats.
Sports so good. Come on, baby, make it sports so good. Sometimes money makes you look like a fool.
Like, that text right there is like sports fan 101. I don't care how tired they are. They make $40 million a year. They get the offseason. Well, it's not the offseason. And you ask any player that's been – I would love for Travis Kelce to sit here and go, dude, how tired are you? Let me tell you. You have no idea how tired we are.
I don't care that my friend gets tired after every week of work. He makes $120,000 a year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He should, whatever. British of the weekend, I'll start. Travis Hunter. I don't know if you guys saw this story or not.
Good story.
Sandy Hawkins Combs.
Loved her dances back
in the
day.
That's right. Yeah. Well, she picked Travis Hunter. She was just a random Samaritan on an airplane, an actual good story of an airplane, had the most wonderful flight home from Denver. I met the nicest young man who sat next to me. He offered to put my bag in the overhead compartment and helped me with my tray. He was always polite, saying yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am. Anyone would be proud to have him as a son or grandson. So polite. People then kept walking by and were saying congratulations, great job, or even taking pictures with him. I turned and asked him, who am I sitting next to? I looked at his Jaguar pants, smiled, and asked, are you an athlete? He smiled and said, I'm Travis. Yes, I was drafted by the Jags. I already told my sons I won his jersey. He's so humble, down to earth, and I would have never guessed he was a professional athlete. Jacksonville Jags, you did good. I will be buying tickets. United Airlines, thank you for my seat assignment.
There you go. That's awesome, man. How cool is that, right?
Travis Hunter's going to be all right.
Yeah. The fact that he's still flying commercial makes it even better, too, isn't it?
For now.
That's exactly right. No, do nice things, as you like to say, right?
I mean, just be a good person.
Yeah, just be nice to the person sitting next to you. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm going to give a brioche a dual one. I'm going to start with my mother-in-law this weekend, who, I mean, you thought she shot me down about the West Point stuff a couple of weeks ago. My father-in-law was talking about the NBA yesterday and said, man, it's a battle royale out there. They let everything go now. It's getting physical and whatnot, right?
They don't play defense.
No. We're out of that conversation. Woo. He has said that in the past. And he goes, it's not like back in my day where you couldn't put hands on anybody, to which my mother-in-law goes, exactly when did you play professional basketball, Tom?
You're like, yes.
Yeah. Like,
she's like that college kid that did the elbow drop from the booth.
And my kids just went crazy laughing. Like, and he just kind of went back into his shell. Like, she just looked at him like, she's out here now just slaying on everybody as you get closer and closer to 80 years old. But also, brioche to all the moms out there who celebrated Mother's Day. My mom in particular, my mother-in-law, and of course, my wife, who's the best mom that I've ever seen work and do everything she does for the kids. And so if you didn't celebrate your mom's this weekend and whatnot, you got a couple of more days till Father's Day, 34 to be exact. And you can get, I was watching a video this morning with Jim Gaffigan talking about how now it's Father's Day month. Okay.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And whatnot. So, celebrate your moms, but I just want to give a shout out to my wife because she is an amazing mother and, does so many wonderful things for our family. So I just want to give her a Mother's Day shout out. Brioche of the week. I couldn't find anybody better.
That's awesome.
A couple others. Somebody said the strawberry pie from Tippins had it. Forgot how good it was.
Nice.
And then I gave credit to this because somebody says we only bring up the bad textures. It's not true. From the 816, had to try that hash brown burrito from Abelerto's. Shout out to Dusty for giving that recommendation. Nice. I'm telling you, man. Emily tried it. She loved it. This person tried it, loved it. You've yet to try it. You won't listen to me. It's literally on your way home. Mm-hmm. I guess now it's past your way home.
No, but it's right there, right?
It's right there.
Yeah, I need to do it. I have no excuse.
Hit it, turn around, and then go run for like 7 miles after you're done eating.
See, that's my issue right there. I'd have to run for 7 miles a day.
Like a quarter of it.
Yeah, but see, I don't have an off switch. That's why I don't drink during the week. But also brioche of the week to Mac. He's coming up picking up that grill today, Dusty. I can't wait for the neighbors to see him and Maloney out there moving that thing. Because I won't be home. So you guys go help yourself.
Oh, yeah, you're not going to be there.
I'm not going to be there. I don't know what time you guys are picking it up. Don't let the dog out. You don't even need to get this. Walk around the backside.
Yeah, of course.
Take that thing and watch the swan.
Yes.
Watch the pink flamingo. Stop looking at me, swan!
Yeah. You got a brioche?
A1 weekend. A1 weekend. Tough to choose. Great night. Great day with you guys Saturday. Celtics won. Great night Saturday night. Sunday, man, it was just a lot of yard work. It was fun. A lot of yard work.
Did you sing the karaoke on Saturday?
I did.
What'd you sing?
I Miss You.
Oh, I Miss You too. That's nice. But what'd you sing?
I Miss You by Blink-182.
Oh, dear God.
Why is that? Oh, dear God. What?
I don't know if that's a crowd pleaser.
Remember, it's not about you when you're on stage.
I don't want to.
Oh.
I don't want to.
Toot your own horn?
No.
You did it to get laid.
No, I don't need to do that to get laid. There wasn't much of a.
I thought that was like a bonus, like, you know.
There wasn't much of a crowd to please.
Gotcha. Very small turnout.
But still had a good time, had a good establishment that you went to.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Took care of you. It was really nice. Yeah, that's good.
So it was a small crowd, so you did whatever you want. I get that. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm not, you know, yeah.
All right, we got Mac up next. Where are you?
Exactly. Like, okay. I've got a video.
Yeah, and there was people there. Hey, man, that's cool. I'm glad you had a good time. How's that Jersey Mike's for the third time in four days? Yeah, exactly.
Chili relish.
Bob, Mac, we'll do it again tomorrow. Go do something nice for somebody. Take care. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's Simply Cool to Care. Coming up, it's the bad boys. Cody, Golden, Drew from 10 to 2 here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll talk to you tomorrow.